The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw Dating, preferred dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys, and broadcasting live from Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star.
Good afternoon, Cowboys Nation. Welcome to Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw, the preferred dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys. We are coming live from the beautiful Star in Frisco. It's a little cold outside. Our hearts also a little cold this morning and all day as the Dallas Cowboys season officially coming to an end after a heart-stinging loss to the San Francisco 49ers with a final score of 19-12. Ladies, what a game. Of course, I'm Jess Navarro, your host. I'm joined by Christy Scales, Aisha Morrison, and we have our Haley Sutton here today. I'm very excited to have our Haley bring up our spirits a little bit. Let's just go around the table. Initial reactions, how are we all feeling? Christy, we'll start with you. How are you feeling today?
So disappointed, mainly because the defense did I know they kind of faded a little bit at the end with a couple of long drives, but what a great effort and executing a great game plan. And it's just the fact that that cavalcade of all pros and pro bowlers for San Francisco, the couple of their guys, George Kittle in particular, made the big plays when needed to be made and Cowboys didn't. So I'm just really disappointed in the production of the Cowboys offense and disappointed for the Cowboys defense that it was not a complimentary game.
I agree. Yeah. Whoa, my mic is so loud. Hey, guys. I agree. I think when you hold a team like San Francisco, a team that's averaging almost 30 points a game to 19 points, that's a game you should win. The defense went out there and laid it all on the line, and they set the tone from the opening whistle, Osa getting in Purdy's face. I mean, they did exactly what the game plan was, make Brock Purdy look like a rookie. And it's unfortunate that you have a performance where your quarterback has the best game of his career the week before, and then kind of fizzles in the week prior. And so it's just, like you said, just kind of a disappointing, you feel it in your gut kind of morning where it's like, dang, like this really was the team. Jaron talked about that too. So, yeah, just disappointed.
Yeah, definitely. I second being, is it third?
You thruple?
I thruple. Being disappointed for this defense. I think this is the second year that they've kept you in these type of games, in this type of game, specifically against this team. And the offense was not able to find production there. And then obviously, too, we don't know. I personally don't know. We don't know with Dan Quinn getting all these interviews and things like that. Just so many questions being up in the air of what that unit in particular is going to be next year. And how hard they worked to get to this point of being where they are. You started to see it all come together also, too. And the disappointing part for me is just how the defense had worked their tails off and they weren't rewarded from the other parts of the ball. So,
yeah, disappointed times four around this table. And I'm sure everybody listening can agree with that same sentiment. And I think what bothers me the most about it is everything that lost them this game are things that we've talked about all season of being their downfall. So, you know, sloppy play, penalties, no mental focus, miscues, miscommunications, all things that we had talked about throughout the duration of the season that they had time to clean up. Throughout these, you know, past few weeks specifically, just couldn't come through with the win at the end, of course. And like you said, that free agency list is pretty long. When you go through it, there's a lot of key players on there, that free agency list. I'm just glad we're not the ones that have to make those decisions pretty soon. But let's go back to that feeling, because Christy, you were there in Santa Clara. What was that gut feeling that you got being at the game? Early on, did you get any kind of specific feeling, and why did you feel that way early on?
Well, you knew it was going to be chippy. We knew it was going to be a physical game just because of the style of the 49ers and then the Cowboys defense in particular, and Haley's right, setting the tone early. And Osa had the sack on that opening drive. Micah made a great play, though, you know, taking away. Purdy was just going to chuck it out. To the left real quickly, but Micah was on the guy. But when it started pregame with Deebo Samuel and the 49ers just getting in the way of what is part of the normal pregame routine.
Right.
And so I don't know if we want to get into all that right now, but it's here's the thing. I want to point out one thing. And that is, I think the league is going to take a look at what happened in this pregame.
I do too.
And see if there's something that can be done to make sure that you don't have players walking through in the line of sight and getting in the way of what was pregame operations for the Cowboys. So it wasn't just Brett Maher kicking off a tee, which he does early in pregame, but this was actual operations where you had Matt Overton snapping the ball to Brian Anger, who's spotting the ball at the 29-yard line for Brett Maher, and you've got Deebo Samuel, another 49ers, just standing right there, and don't know if anything was said, but they definitely were trying to disrupt this operation and get in the head of Brett Maher, whatever. So, but here's the thing. Why did you have the two different the players from the two different teams together, that's on the same side of the field. The way the rules are structured, part of the pregame operations, 60 minutes before kickoff is when you have to be on your separate sides. That's when the official pregame warm-ups begin. This is over an hour and a half before the game, okay? Mm-hmm. So when that happens, you, especially the kickers and punters, they go to all different parts of the field, and it's really important because for these outdoor games in Levi's Stadium yesterday, it was so windy, and the gusts, and then you have a natural grass field, and like in Tampa the week before where the field was in bad condition. Anyway, these specialists and other players need to be able to go to different parts of the field. But I wonder if the league is going to address maybe extending that 60-minute period. Mm. So I think that there could be repercussions for this moving forward.
I just think it was so poor. And and I mean, I get it, right? I'm all about the, you know, the social media trash talk and the, you know, building up. And there's a certain level of gamesmanship to it. But it takes it to another level when now you're impeding their preparation, right? Like, this is something where, like, even if Brett hadn't had kicking issues before, it's still disrespectful. I mean, what are you doing? What did you hope to accomplish from that? And then just for Deebo also to go on social media and tag Micah and all the posts, it just was, it was so poor. And to me, if I'm a 49ers fan and that's the type of stuff I see, it just, it made me look at Deebo differently, right? Because I think he's a tremendous player. I've never really known anything about him as a person. But now I see, okay, well, you were all up in Brett's space the day before. Now you're dragging Micah, like, when they're kicking him when they're down. And it just, it really didn't set right with me.
And just to add one more thing to it, when I say that it's 60 minutes before where you have to stay on your respective side of the field, the officials are not out on the field until 50 minutes before the game, okay? So there wasn't, other than coaches stepping in or Jake McQuaid, who's our, you know, who's our,
there was no one to help.
He's on injured reserve. Luckily, no one had to totally be pulled apart.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of, you know, they were kind of jawing in each other's face, Trent Williams, the all-pro left tackle, and Jake McQuaid. But, you know, Jake's trying to step in, you know, trying to get calmer heads to prevail. But petty is the word that was used.
Yeah, oh, very petty. So petty.
But here's the thing. It could have escalated, and not having officials out there, and then the fact that you're allowed to be on the opposite, you know, all over the whole field. I just think it's going to be reexamined.
Because Robbie Gould was, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But Robbie Gould was right there, too.
All of them were there. It's very common that the specialists, hey, that's a fraternity. Just like quarterbacks were a fraternity.
Yeah.
These guys, they all know each other, okay? And there's a good chance that your deep snapper, you know, used to be with the other team, with the punter for the other team at another point of his career. So those guys all know each other. But I kind of lost some. I don't want to say I lost respect, but
you see in a different light.
I think you were saying about Deebo Samuel.
It makes you look at him different.
Yeah, I think Robbie.
All
of
them. Trent,
I was really disappointed with Trent Williams.
And Trent has a, you know, like, I've watched him quite a while. I mean, we watched him when he was with the now Commanders, but, you know, at that time, Redskins. And, yeah, he's always been kind of chippy like that. But to be, you know, just throwing many elbows and stuff, I just was like, That's a lot of what we've seen, though, is like they take on this personality of like the bullies, and we bully you. And I think there, again, is a limitation to that, and especially like what Haley said, talking about preparation. But I mean, they saw it. They saw it from the defense yesterday. I mean, they probably felt it, even though the offense didn't produce that defense. This Cowboys defense made some points in that game. Sure. And Debo included, McCaffrey, all of them, they sore.
Yeah.
They are. Like, it was a physical, very physical. I thought they were more physical on that side of the ball than even the 49ers were. So.
Sure. I think, too, this is a discussion we would be having even if the Cowboys won this game.
Yeah.
Because it's just disrespectful. To put it lightly, it's disrespectful and it's toxic behavior. But, no, it is something that I think the league needs to look into, because next time, who's to say that doesn't turn into more of an escalated situation? And especially with those kind of teams that have this history of a rivalry and all this tension from last season to this season. I mean, to me, it's just protect your guys, protect your players. Don't put them in situations that could escalate, essentially. But just making that clear, we'd be having this discussion even if the Cowboys won, because if you haven't seen that video on social media, go look it up. It was all over Twitter, if you don't know what we're talking about. But let's go ahead and take our first break, because coming up after this break, we're going to talk about the offensive performance and what ghosts from the Cowboys' past came back to haunt them this time. This is Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw, the preferred dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys. We'll be right back.
At Jigsaw Dating, we obviously want the Cowboys to bring that sixth ring home. But to be honest, we're more focused on finding the person who will put a ring on your finger. That's why we created a dating app that reveals your face through meaningful conversation, so you can date deeper. Because it's personality that matters the most, not looks. Join Jigsaw Dating today, dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Pepsi-loving football fans, it's time we had a lesson in trash talk. And I'm not talking about that stuff that happens on the field. What I'm talking about is trash, and it's the only thing that belongs in your garbage can. Now, recycling might not be as thrilling as converting a fourth and long, but next time you're thinking about throwing that Pepsi Zero Sugar bottle away, just cap it back up and pretend you're down by six with the recycling bin wide open. Know the difference? Make a difference. Be a team player and recycle. Visit PepsiTrashTalk.com to learn more.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at Blockchain.com.
To Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw, the preferred dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys. We're talking some special teams and some offensive performance coming up. But first, let's talk about the ACMs, because this is how we country. Country music's biggest party of the year is coming to the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. The Academy of Country Music Awards are always bringing you country music's brightest stars together under one roof, and no one does country like Texas. So you can witness history on May 11th and get your tickets at SeatGeek.com if you are interested in that. All right. So we were talking about the little scuffle with the kicking unit ahead of the game. So let's start with some special teams there, talking about our guy, Brett Money Maher, who made his way back to the bank at the end of this game. He had one missed extra point after the ball was blocked, came back to make two field goals, one from 25 yards, the other from 43. Not confident enough to say the yips have subsided completely. However, we did get to see Brett kind of have his redemption moment. So that was good to see. A little side note there, check the weather. It was 58 degrees with winds coming in the northwest at 14 miles per hour. So like you said, Christy, a little gusty there at Levi's Stadium. But
that was that meteorologist.
I started dying.
It was the hand motion and everything.
Sorry. Like, out of the northwest.
I needed like a green wall right here. To be like,
when you said take southwest, a look. I was like...
Like, do the little exit like I used
to. I love that.
But I always wanted to check the wind, too, because you could even see when the kicks were being kicked, and from videos I saw from the warm-ups, there's just a little sway, and I'm trying to give our guy Brett the benefit of the doubt here and saying it was a little gusty, and when you're in a stadium and you just look at the rules of how wind works, it's a little more gusty in the stadium than outside, so something to keep in mind there. But what did you ladies think about Brett Maher in this game specifically? We can even widen that to special teams. Of course, we know Kelvin Joseph having himself a play there with that strip that was fumbled and recovered by Damone Clark. We can talk special teams there. So overall, special teams, first reactions, what did you think? Christy, we'll start with you.
I've never been more entertained by a crowd than the one yesterday at Levi's Stadium, because have you ever been to a college basketball game, college in particular, where the other team is shooting a free throw, and so the student body section behind the, you know, behind the backboard is, you know, waving bricks or, you know, mm-hmm. fat heads or just going crazy and trying to distract the free throw shooter? That's what it was like at Levi's Stadium yesterday. The people behind the uprights were going crazy, and the amongst the biggest buzz, I think the George Kittle catch was the biggest cheer of the game, followed by the touchdown run for San Francisco. But the three other moments were when Maher was on the field. He quieted him with two of the field goals. But mm-hmm. did you notice, Haley, all the fans going crazy trying to distract Maher?
Yeah, I think on the broadcast you could hear it. I think mm-hmm. that was something to be expected for Brett. I was really proud of him. And I said this in our pregame show too, I think that Monday's game last week was an anomaly for him. I really yep. don't see that as, you know, we've talked about his pregame prep against Tampa and how he wandered the field a little bit and it might have psyched him out. The field conditions weren't great. So I was not particularly surprised that he had, you know, a performance that we're used to seeing. So I was just really proud for him to be able to get back out there and just bounce back, quiet the noise, so to speak, especially after going through that pregame skirmish, if you will. But I thought special teams was one of the better units on the field. I thought, you know, Kelvin Joseph, you mentioned him getting that forced fumble. We always joke about him being a little reckless. And I think this was one time where you wanted him to be reckless, and it paid off. Damone Clark having the instinct to get down there and grab that fumble, and it would have been nice if they could have converted a touchdown as opposed to just 3 points there. That would have been a game changer for sure. But I think overall, just special teams in general, I think they were phenomenal. Kevontae Turpin put this team in some really good field position. He I think has felt the impact of playing two professional mm-hmm. football seasons up until, you know, the last couple of weeks. And so for him to get out there and really continue to put his body on the line, he had some really great returns. I thought that was special. So it goes back to what we were talking about at the very beginning. It's unfortunate when, you know, you have a defense that's firing on all cylinders. Your special teams is coming out here and being special, and that your offense can't match the energy. So it's for sure something, I think, on that front that the front office will have to think about in the next couple of weeks. But special teams was back to being special, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, they came out. To your point, I felt like Kevontae Turpin put them in great situations, because that was my concern, is starting field position with going against that defense, is where were you at on the field? And you could tell he came out and decided to be explosive. I think he averaged 30 yards a return, which was
he had four for 120 with a 44 is long.
Can I ask, am I just being Debbie Downer, but I thought that that should have been a touchdown on that kickoff return. He's the one that initiated contact with the kicker. What are you doing turning and backing into the guy? I respectfully disagree on that particular play.
Yes.
And there have been other instances. I really like Kevontae Turpin, and what a great find to have him on this team. But I'm sorry, there were too many plays this season that were out there that were left on the field.
Oh, right there.
And, oh, my gosh, that just would have changed everything yesterday. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah,
and the other one, again, I'm not piling on Kevontae, but there were the three series at the start of the third quarter, and one of them was not fielding the punt letting it bounce, and you lost 20 yards of field position and had the ball at your own 9-yard line.
Yep. Yeah.
I was standing next to a player on the sideline who's screaming, you've got to field that punt.
To your point, there are areas specifically with Kevontae's game that he can improve his vision. Mm-hmm. I think he can improve his awareness of the field, especially being like, this is his first NFL year. Mm-hmm. He's a rookie in his own right in this league, mm-hmm. right? So I do agree with you that there were several instances this season where you were like, there was yards there was opportunity there, and I do think that could have broke the game wide open.
Yeah. I also think, too, there's these expectations that have been set for him since preseason when he took, what was it, two punt returns all the way back to the end zone. And I think that set the standard higher than you would set for any other kind of punt returner in that situation. So, look, the man's put his body through a lot in the last 2 years. Everybody's banged up. Everyone's tired. But you saw that zoom in him. And for me, it was, you hadn't seen that in the last few weeks from him. So it was a breath of fresh air that, you know, it wasn't him necessarily, aside from that one kickoff return you're talking about. But it wasn't him that was putting the Cowboys offense behind the sticks.
Yeah,
That's true. That was their own doing. And let's go ahead and transition. My cord got stuck on my belt. Oh, my goodness. Let's go ahead and transition now to the offense. Let's talk stats first, because there's a lot to break down, and I don't want to run out of time for that. So, 60 total plays on the offense, 15 first downs. They had 5 of 15 with their third down efficiency. 282 total yards, 206 of which were passing, 76 were rushing. 7 penalties for 50 yards, 2 turnovers, time of possession, 27 minutes and 7 seconds. A little side note, Dak Prescott passed Tony Romo for the 4th most completions in Cowboys postseason history. So a little side note there. And as we know, we're going through... Girl, you kill me.
I'm sorry. It was killing me because you were reading those stats. And
she's over...
Aisha immediately goes...
I know. I should have given you like a little warning to like brace yourself there. Let's go back to the 2 turnovers, because the week before we were all talking about the turnover bug is done. It was gone. Dak had a clean game. Last week, not so much this game. The first interception, let's talk about it. It was Dallas's second drive. Pass was intended for Michael Gallup, and Lenore came with the interception, who returned it to the Cowboys' 21-yard line. Second interception was on Dallas's 4th drive. The pass it was intended for CeeDee Lamb was tipped and picked off by Warner. Thoughts on interceptions? Let's start over here, Aisha. How are you feeling about that specifically, and seeing that you were strong enough to go back and watch the game, kind of dissect it, what did you notice from those interceptions?
I'm glad. Hey, I'm glad y'all recognizing it, because my therapist is tired of hearing about it. You understand me?
You know what? I'm sure.
The strength that I have to, like, but no, seriously. The first interception, one thing I've been taught that since I'm watching film is not to give blame, because I don't understand. We don't know what's supposed to be happening on that play. However, it looked like a comeback route, and then Michael Gallup didn't come back. Mm-hmm. And that's that. But then moving on to the other one though, is a situation where Fred Warner was everywhere yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's not the norm. He's not the norm in which you would see a linebacker be able to break that quickly on the ball, to make those decisions. And I really think that Dak, in several instances playing against him, mistimed how fast that man is. But I also feel like we've been talking about it all year. You said it already. With these route concepts and the way that this the way that this offense is run, and the way it's been run this year, I think we're going to continue to see these type of things happen. Yep. Until there's a different way that this offense is run from a passing standpoint. Mike McCarthy's talked about it. Defense is playing mirror defense. Well, they're literally just waiting for the quarterback to make the decision. That's something we've seen numerous times, and I think a lot of that, I don't think Dak saw the field entirely well yesterday. I think he could have played better. Mm. He made some crappy decisions in certain situations, but I also feel like that what they do schematically from a wide receiver standpoint and the way that they, the routes that they run, the way they pass the ball around, I don't know if that's conducive to at your offense being successful in this sense. Like it does not seem like what these players are doing fits what you would need to do in these situations. And again, I could be wrong, but I just don't know if that fits what that player does well in that situation. And that's just me. So that's how I felt about the interceptions, and how I feel is that they could definitely continue. Mm-hmm. If we don't figure out what this player does well.
Sure.
Okay, let's do it. What does this player do well? Yep. Let's do it. How about no more mirror routes? How about we not do so many comeback routes? How about not so many hitches? Because they were biting on everything. They, like, those DBs were biting on everything. They were focused on everything intermediate. And at no point in time besides the deep pass to CD Lamb did you make them pay.
Mm. Yep.
And what reason did they have to back up and to not play, you know, tight defense when your run game's not going? And sure. I know we're going to get to that, but there's immense pressure on at the court. And granted, Dak did not play well. I'm holding him accountable. I'm not saying none of that. But there's immense pressure on the quarterback to perform well when so many other things aren't going right around him. And we need to really look at that on that side of the ball moving forward.
Right. Perfectly said. Let's go ahead and take a listen. Jazzy, do we have that soundbite from Dak about what he said concerning his or regarding his interceptions? We don't have that soundbite, but he basically said, you know, he promises this won't be the case going forward. There's a lot of offseason work for him to do. Ladies, how do you feel about that promise? Haley, how do you feel about that? I mean, that's we're talking about the highest interception rate of his career. I mean, does it get worse than that? Does it stay the same? Does it get better? What do you do during this offseason to ensure that it doesn't get worse and it doesn't stay the same, but it's improved?
Yeah, you get with your wide receivers in the offseason and you run those routes and you look at the interceptions that you're throwing and you figure out why the timing wasn't working. I mean, I think it's challenging, right? Because you want to believe everything that he says. Like, Dak is an incredible guy. He's an incredible leader. He's an incredible quarterback, regardless of what the national narrative or the fan base narrative is surrounding him. He is a talented quarterback who has done a lot for this franchise. Very similar to Brett Maher's performance last Monday, I think that this season for Dak is a blip, right? It's an asterisk because, you know, we haven't seen him operate like that. And he's coming back from a lot, you know, a broken ankle a couple seasons ago, just to come back in and then you break your thumb. I mean, this is a guy who's really been through the ringer, and I really think that missing those five games at the beginning of the season, it put this team back further than what you thought. And so when you're getting into a postseason and you're facing a defense that's going to press you, you're facing a front seven that's going to make your offensive line work, and you're going to have to be the one to dictate when you lose your star playmaker, you know, in the second quarter. Like, it's frustrating and it's hard to believe at this point hearing him say, oh, I'm going to fix it. It won't happen again. If it's me personally, I would rather him just said, listen, I know that this was hard. I know that this was not the season that you expected of me. All I can promise is that I'm going to work to be the best I can going forward. Because I think what happens with this fan base is they latch on, you know, they latch on to the history and, you know, oh, this season was such a disappointment because we didn't make it to the Super Bowl. And you hold on to that instead of focusing on, you know, the positives that did happen. Now you've got your starting quarterback saying, I promise to get us past the divisional titles. I promise to make it better. And while the intention for sure is there, I don't want to promise that you can't guarantee that you're going to keep, if that makes sense. So I appreciate Dak. I appreciate him taking that accountability. I think that's the first step that a lot of quarterbacks this season in particular didn't do. But I don't want to promise that I don't feel confident that may or may not come true.
Tracking.
Yeah. I think the way you address it moving forward is, first of all, you upgrade your receiving core.
Say that.
I'm sorry, but seven targets to wide receivers not named C.D. Lamb, and one of those was to Turpin on that trick play at the end, so I'm going to throw that out. So six targets, three of them to Michael Gallup, zero receptions. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's equal fault on that first interception towards Michael Gallup. The second interception, that was real, even though Warner had the interception, and Aisha, you're right, what a fabulous player. Such he had a player. Fantastic game. But credit Ward for that.
Yes.
It's a zone defense. He's watching Dak the whole time. That's the great thing about a zone. You can watch the quarterback and go with him. And so he reacted. He's the one that tipped the ball up, and subsequently it was intercepted by Ward. So, it's just also that one deep ball to Michael Gallup that was oh so close, but the ball was just off. I think two factors with that. Mm-hmm. I think the wind caught it a little bit, but mainly Dak was getting pressure from his right side. Tyron was basically bull rush, kind of pushed back into Dak's lap almost, and so Dak had to take a step to the left and didn't have his feet set and the proper mechanics when you're going to throw a long pass because of that pressure coming from the right side. So it's not an excuse, just a reason. I'm just telling you what I saw from the sideline.
Yes,
but yeah, you you have to upgrade the receiving core and get some guys other than C.D. Lamb who can win on routes and win when you've got when the officials are letting the guys play and it's very physical. You have got to come through for your quarterback.
Yep. Yeah, and to your point, that's what San Fran did. That's what San Fran had. That's why they had, to me, that's what they did that last drive that they scored on that really felt like, okay, this game has gotten away from them, was the fact they didn't do nothing crazy. They did slants. They went at one weak point in your defense and just decided to get the ball in their playmakers' hands, as we've seen through the playoffs all year. I mean, this whole weekend. And you just, that didn't happen there. I mean, Dalton Schultz. I mean, like, there were no other receivers except for CeeDee Lamb. And I think it's clear, like, of course CeeDee Lamb had a dope day. He's the one that can really get busy against he's better than a lot of guys. It's one-on-one. And I think that's a lot of what the playoffs are, is are you better than the next guy? Are you better than the guy across from you? Can you go make a play right now? And that's not what happened. Yes.
So it's almost like going back to the basics, which is what we've been hearing for the past few weeks when they have these kind of losses. And obviously this one stings more considering it's season ending, but going back to the basics and doing what works. And we've seen that. That's what's frustrating, is we saw it against Tampa Bay, going back to the basics and what works for this offense. But the inconsistency within this offensive game plan is just killing everybody, man. I mean, to me personally, I don't even have a foot to stand on when it comes down to giving any kind of speculation or analysis on these wide receivers. We didn't see any of them. We didn't see anything. We saw CeeDee. Yeah, 10 receptions for 117 yards. Cool. We should see that. We also saw Dalton Schultz, 5 receptions for 27 yards and 1 touchdown. Okay.
But get your foot, get your second foot down when you're going out of bounds. Oh, my gosh.
Right. But we also,
so maddening.
We also just, we didn't see anything. And again, that goes back to they're putting themselves in these third and long situations that we talked about all season they can't be doing. And it was like they would have one spark of momentum, and then a killer penalty. Like, guys, this is the same stuff all season that just wasn't working for you. And so it's just daunting to me that the same exact things that haven't been working is what ended their season. In a way, in not the similar way from last season's playoff loss to the 49ers, in a heartbreaking way, that the game ends and you're like, what just happened? What was that?
What have we been saying since the first week we were doing this show, the day after a game? The team that wins in the NFL is the one that makes the least mistakes, the one that doesn't shoot itself in the foot. Truisms are truisms because they're true, okay? And so whether it was the two first-half interceptions that lead to the 6 points, or, oh my gosh, the killer penalties on the defense. George Kittle getting that defensive holding call on Donovan Wilson. I think it was the correct call, but George Kittle knew exactly what he was doing and getting his head in there. And he, oh my gosh, he's.
But that made me so mad because y'all got to be consistent.
Exactly. Yeah. And the defensive holding call on the run. But then they didn't call.
When Hankins was little like this.
Holding.
Like, okay.
Let's be consistent here. But that's such a good point, because you had the hold on Dono. I believe you had the hold on Dono, and I think that negated that dope sack.
It was a sack. Tank. They would have had to settle for a field goal further back, and also. Yep. But the other thing is, they were able to run more time off the clock. That was in the fourth quarter.
And then CMC ended up scoring on that drive. Exactly. If I'm not mistaken, and he was a ghost.
I'm sorry. That I think they all day. I think the penalty may have happened third, but CMC got the one at the end there.
Speaking of ghosts, I was wanting to see more T.Y. Hilton.
When one target.
Like, it goes back to what I'm saying is, yes, you should rely on CeeDee. He's your number one guy. But where is everybody else in this game plan? Where do they fit? Does anyone know where they fit in that game plan? Yeah, do they know? Does Kellen know? Does anyone know? I don't know.
I think the game plan went to, I can't say the word, but Tony Pollard going down.
Bing, bing, bing.
It was the countdown. Yep. Because if I'm San Fran's defense, and we had listened to them, I had listened to audio about them all week, their intention was to stop TP and Dalton Schultz. They didn't even care. Like, crazy enough, I think that they knew CeeDee was going to get his. Mm-hmm. And they really
You have to respect him. They had an awful secondary as
well.
So
yeah, he cooked them. But when Tony Pollard goes down, that's a huge part of their play, like the Cowboys' playmaking ability. And from there, it's like, oh, about the bite on everything. I ain't gotta worry about the backfield like that. Because no disrespect to Ezekiel Elliott or and then Malik Davis didn't get that much burn either, but those linebackers and that defensive line were.
Were you guys surprised they didn't give it to Malik a few times?
I was. They brought him in for 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. He missed.
I literally wrote it down. Yeah,
he missed
the block.
He missed the block on pass pro, and they said they didn't want Dak getting hurt. But at that point in time, this offensive line I thought blocked pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, considering the fact that their defensive line is insane. This offensive line opened up some holes when I went back and watched that game, and it just was like a tick too slow, not getting through them, not pushing through them. And I think Malik Davis might have been able to get through them, or a TP.
I think the run was abandoned at that point. I don't think we were going to see Malik Davis or TP or Zeke running at that point, even if TP didn't go down, because the run was already abandoned. And we've seen time and time again that same truism, Christy, throughout the season of once the run's not working and Kellen Moore decides the run's not working, you're not going to see it throughout the rest of the game.
Well,
it's a ghost.
But you can only pound your head into a wall so many times. You can't do it if it's not effective. But the thing is, when a game is that close, it's a one-score game, and you have 22 rushing attempts. Now, that includes 2 by C.D. Lamb. I really like that one conversion. That was a nice little play on that flip. 4 of them by Dak Prescott. But anyway, Elliott and Pollard combined for 16 rushing attempts. And just to put that in perspective, 22 overall, including the Lamb. Mike McCarthy was saying, I don't know if this was on the record or off the record, but he did say last week that it needs to be 32 touches or more for those two guys combined. And when I say touches, that would be rushing, okay, not just, dump off passes and stuff like that. And so when you only have those two guys combined for 16, and I know that Pollard missed the second half, but, it wasn't working.
I think it was tough, right? Like, you knew that the 49ers didn't allow a lot on the ground. You knew that going into it, right? So you give it a try. It wasn't working, and then you lose Tony. So it's a game of guesses, right? And I really just think at the end of the day, it was just a poor offensive execution.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
There was even a moment where, and I tweeted about it, and it's the play now that everybody has been talking about, but third and whatever when we settled for the field goal, and Dak's trying to thread the needle into CD in double coverage, and T.Y. is standing like this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was a walk-in touchdown. And that's why I say, like, it's on Dak to get with these guys in the offseason, and it's on him to figure out, okay, like, why was I laser focused on getting this pass to you? Like, sure, like, you're my guy. That's where I'm at. That's my first read. But you've got, when the offensive line is allowing you that much time you had time.
Yeah.
You had time. Like,
yeah, you did.
The pressure was coming, but you had a second to go, phew, you know? And I'm not a professional football player, obviously, but I just think, like, that's the kind of stuff that you want out of Prescott. That's what he did well in that best game of his career on Monday. And those are the performances. I don't necessarily care about the performance against Tampa Bay if we're not replicating or at least getting close to that performance the very next week, right? Yeah. Because it negates everything you just did. And so for me, he's got to get out there. He's got to work with these guys. He's got to figure out that timing issue that they talked about all season and why. You know, and even T.Y., I think they even showed on the broadcast, like, T.Y. came over and he was like, hey, man, like, what were you doing?
Yeah, I think it's just seeing the field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't see it yesterday. But, you know, let's credit the 49ers. They are the number one defense for a reason. They're number one scoring, number one total, number two rushing. And, man, it was so physical. Gosh. I wish everybody had an opportunity to just one game down on a sideline to see what it's really like when you have two physical teams. And, I mean, it's like gladiators out there.
Well, speaking of physical, we have to take another break. So coming up, we're talking about the defense, and we're talking about which player went into this game. Talking about this bad taste in his mouth from last year's loss, and did he perform or did he underperform? We're talking about it after this break. This is Girls Talk, Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw, the preferred dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
At Jigsaw Dating, we obviously want the Cowboys to bring that sixth ring home. But to be honest, we're more focused on finding the person who will put a ring on your finger. That's why we created a dating app that reveals your face through meaningful conversation, so you can date deeper. Because it's personality that matters the most, not looks. Join Jigsaw Dating today, dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Pepsi-loving football fans, it's time we had a lesson in trash talk. And I'm not talking about that stuff that happens on the field. What I'm talking about is trash, and it's the only thing that belongs in your garbage can. No, recycling might not be as thrilling as converting a fourth and long, but next time you're thinking about throwing that Pepsi Zero Sugar bottle away, just cap it back up and pretend you're down by six with the recycling bin wide open. Know the difference? Make a difference. Be a team player and recycle. Visit PepsiTrashTalk.com to learn more.
With Smoothie King's original Angel Food and new Angel Food Slim without added sugar, you no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups, so you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic Angel Food or the new Angel Food Slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King, rule the day.
To Girls Talk, Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw, the preferred dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys. Let's talk defense, but first, let's talk the Star Districts, because just steps away from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters in Frisco, you can visit the Star District, your destination for excellent dining, premier shopping, and exciting events. Visit thestardistrict.com for more information on that. All right, ladies, defense, let's talk about it. Deron Bland, anything but bland during this game. 10 combined total tackles, Donovan Wilson having 8, Tank having 6 total combined tackles, 1 sack, and 2 of those tackles were tackles for loss. Keep in mind, Tank is somebody who has talked about this bad taste in his mouth. Haley, we've talked about this before from last year's game. We'll talk about his performance in a bit, but he recorded this sack in the first quarter, has 3 career sacks in the postseason, tied for 7th in team history. So something to keep in mind there. Malik Hooker having 8 combined tackles. Jayron having 5, 1 of those tackles for loss. Dorrance Armstrong having 3. Osa Odigizua, 5 tackles, 1 sack, and 1 tackle for loss. So let's talk about what that meant for San Francisco. They had 63 total plays, 21 first downs. They were 7-14 on third down efficiency, 312 total yards, 199 of which are rushing, 113 passing. Or excuse me, flip that. 199 passing, 113 rushing. But y'all, I don't know about y'all. I didn't sleep well last night. And one of the things that kept replaying in my head is that George Kittle bobbled miracle catch. Just stuck with my head. It's one of those things that you watch and you're like, dang, that was great. But we'll talk about that. Christy, I know you specifically wanted to talk about this catch. What was interesting? What did you hear from the San Francisco locker room?
Well, just
what was interesting about this play?
Just the fact that it was improv and that, you know, it wasn't really intended for Kittle at all, and just how impressed I was that a rookie, Brock Purdy, can come off. First read on that was Brandon Ayuk, the 49er receiver on a crossing route. As I say, Kittle and they were saying, who was it? Juszczyk, the fullback, were on the backside. And so it was an adjustment. Kittle saw what was happening and saw that there was an opening up the middle of the field and took off. And Purdy recognized that and hit him not quite in stride, but, it wasn't the fact that it was a tip. You know, he tipped the ball to himself and made this awesome juggling catch. It was side adjustments on the for both of those players. And the fact that the rookie was on one side of it, I just thought that was outstanding.
Chunk plays was the name of the game. We knew that this was going to come down to it, that San Francisco offense going to have those chunk plays. But other than that, this defense played one heck of a game. I'm so impressed by the defense. Aisha, you were talking about your guy Osa, how he continues to be impressive in what he's done and what he's doing, impactful. Overall, defensive scoring, how did you feel the defense did yesterday in just overall performance, keeping some hope alive again until they were just gassed at the end of this game.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the DTs played so well to start that game. Hankins, Watkins, Osa, those guys set the tone early. And say what you want to say, San Fran struggled to run the ball too. Mm-hmm. They just figured out how to get it going in the passing game to a degree, but they struggled to run the ball too. And you're talking about a team that I think is averaged over over 100 yards a game since Christian McCaffrey has been there. The way that the Cowboys were able to bottle him up and for him to not truly be a factor in this game besides really short yardage situations, incredibly impressive. The game plan that Dan Quinn had in place to really make Brock Purdy have to win this game, I think it worked for the majority of the time until you just, you know, towards the end of the game where you didn't get enough. I really do wish they could have capitalized out of the opportunities they had to take the ball away. I think that could have shifted things, but I just don't know how much you could complain about how they tackled, how they hit. I mean, Donovan Wilson definitely made his presence felt, known, everything, but it's yeah, I thought the defense played as well as I think they could have in those situations, and I thought it was enough, in my opinion.
You're talking about a 49ers team where the storyline was the yakability during this game.
Tracking.
Haley, how do you feel like the Cowboys defense capitalized on making sure that that yakability was shut down early on and really through most of the game?
Just look at Debo's numbers. He was 7 of 45 and was really a non-factor in the second half. I thought he had an okay first half. But, I mean, that was kind of it. I mean, when George Kittle is your guy that's leading the way in that category and just yardage in general, and that's no disrespect to George Kittle. I thought not only was he the most entertaining part of the game, but he was the best player on the field for sure, at least from an offensive perspective. So, listen, we've said it this entire time. I think that the defense did everything and more that they could have done to win this game. You held a San Francisco's 49ers roster that is littered with offensive weapons to 19 points. And that's
less than that, right? Because it was the pick, right?
Well, you had the two interceptions led to two field goals. So the defense was put on the spot and just holding them to field goals.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I mean, that's it. Like, there's nothing really more that this team could have done, you know, from a defensive standpoint anyways. And then you mix in special teams and them getting in there and tackling physically, like you mentioned. I think they did well. I think the good news is that there's a foundation built. I think where it gets tricky is that the list of free agents that we have, especially on the defensive side of the ball, is extensive. You've got Donovan Wilson on that list. Leighton Vander Esch is on that list. Anthony Barr is on that list, just
Jonathan
to name
Hankins.
A couple off the top of the dome. So the tricky part becomes, do you sustain that defensive foundation that you've built?
Christy, one last thing before we run out of time. We were talking about injuries and, of course, sending all of our well wishes, prayers to Tony Pollard, but also Carlos Watkins went down, and you wanted to talk about that a little bit as well.
Yeah, he had worked his way up into the starting role at defensive tackle, and he suffered the calf injury late in the first quarter. He ended up only playing 7 plays. And so I think that especially that 91-yard series by the San Francisco offense in the fourth quarter, you could see that the defense was getting worn down. Well, you were missing one of your top DTs in there, part of the defensive tackle rotation. So I think that that had something to do with it. But I'm so glad that both of you mentioned Donovan Wilson along with Leighton Vander Esch.
My MVP, Donovan Wilson.
I think I'm sure that the Cowboys are going to make him a priority signing free
top
agent
of the list.
To re-sign him. But, you know, it's just I think he's one of the most underappreciated players on the entire team.
This is his first full year.
Yep.
This was his first full year playing a full season. So shout out to him. Shout out to him for taking care of his body and being able to stay healthy and be an impact on this team. Because I think that's a big part of why he hasn't been able to, is because he's been injured. And so,
yeah. What did we say in the first week of the regular season? That he was the Golden Whistle Award winner from Coach McCarthy and from the strength and conditioning staff for all of his hard work and overcoming injury and that. And so I'm so happy that it paid off for him this whole season.
JK too, right? We got to send
He was fantastic.
Yeah. We got to send well wishes to him as well. Sounds like he has a torn labrum. He's going to have surgery on that.
Right.
He played through numerous injuries.
Sprained knee.
Yeah, so we definitely to that list of, you know, gentlemen. Yep. Like, I would love to mention him and say that I hope he's good, too.
Definitely. A lot of banged up guys in this locker room, and now they have time to rest. They have plenty of time to rest.
You know what the busiest room is going to be for the next 2 months? The operating room, because everybody goes in and gets their off-season surgeries.
The wide receiver room?
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Please?
I hope.
Please. All right. Well, that is all for us here on Girls Talk, Boys Talk. I still hope you all enjoy the rest of your day, the rest of your week, or try to. You can be in mourning for a little while, and then let's move along and let's focus on the offseason. We're not done. A lot of free agency, a lot of draft stuff coming up as well. So plenty to continue to talk about. Just wish it didn't end in the way it did. But thank you so much for joining us. This has been Girls Talk, Boys Talk with Christy Scales, Haley Sutton, Aisha Morrison, our Jazzy Marshall in the back. I'm Jess Navarez. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great rest of your day, Cowboys Nation.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?